Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And he went ashore, and he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed the sick. Now, it's easy for us to get caught up in what is happening in our lives. Busy is life. Life is full of personal issues that we have to deal with. We get up, we do our daily routine, whatever that is, going out to a job, working in the home, or going about our retirement activities. We get home and we're tired. We don't want to face anything else. And a lot of us want to go into our homes, close the door, and forget whatever's going on around us. The world truly is a busy place today. So much happening that it makes our heads spin. We hear about typhoons, tornadoes, and floods. About all the wars raging in the world. About the ongoing refugee crisis. About the poverty, homelessness, and unemployment occurring not only in Canada, but around the world. And then, of course, the antics of President Trump. And that's just a short list of what is going on in our world. But don't you feel like that sometimes you've had enough and you just want to turn off your TV, your radio, your news streaming onto the computer, your smartphone, and any other kind of communication device you have, and you want to close the door. You just want to stay there. Some of my friends who work at unemployment agencies tell me that on a daily basis, they're dealing with people who've been out of work for a few weeks to a few years, and people who have had great jobs, and now their jobs are gone. And mature workers say that they can't find another one once they've been let go. Now, you can get a survival job at Walmart or Costco or even Tim Hortons. But let's face it, can we really call those survival jobs? Life's hard today. We want to do our daily thing and close the door behind us and forget what's going on outside of those doors. As a matter of fact, wow, just listening to what I've said, I want to wrap up this service, go home and close the door. It all can be so overwhelming. Now, Jesus, early in his ministry, must have felt that way. Actually, I'm sure that often during his ministry, he must have felt that way. People not understanding what he was trying to tell them. His disciples often confused at what he was saying and doing. And in our scripture passage today, he must have been feeling the grief of the death of John. John, who had gotten the ball rolling in terms of what God wanted to do in and through him. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew. Now, when he heard this, he withdrew. He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. When I read that line, the thought that comes to my mind is that the death of John was like someone knocking the wind out of him. It was like a huge cloud over a solar panel or no wind blowing on a wind turbine. It seemed to take away his energy. So he withdrew. He withdrew to a secluded place by himself. What do you do? What do you do when life gets too much? The day has been a hassle and responsibilities are overwhelming. You go home, grab a cool drink and a snack, and plop yourself in front of the tube, or go to your happy place. Veg out, phase out, pig out. When you hear of Jesus withdrawing to a secluded place, do you get the picture of him that he went somewhere quiet, opened a cool Jerusalem blue, and sat down on a comfy rock and phased out for a while? That would have been understandable, wouldn't it? That is what most of us would do. Veg out, phase out, and pig out. I love my potato chips. When Jesus had to think about things where life seemed overwhelming, he always withdrew from the busyness of life, just like you and me. But listen, listen to what he did during these times. When he needed some time to think, the Bible says, as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to an out-of-the-way place. Ready? For prayer. When he had a big decision to make, the Bible says, he climbed a mountain to pray. And he was there all night in prayer before God. When he was struggling spiritually in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he pulled away from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed. How is your life going? Where is it going? What are you doing with it? I'm asking you this, whether you're 18, and there's no one 18 here, or 88, or 90-something. 98. You see, I'm getting older, and my memory doesn't always catch everything, or catches and drops it. That's why I never played baseball. Catch it and drop it. You see, I'm asking you this, whether you are young or you're getting close to the final part of your life. I'm asking it because one of the things I've come to realize is that his life is not over until it's over. Yogi Berra said that. I want you to say that with me. Life is not over until it's over. Life is not over until it's over. Now that may seem trite to you, it might seem corny, or not taking life seriously. But I'm asking you this because how you live and what you do with your life up to your last breath makes a difference. It counts. And it affects those around you. I don't know if you have CTV online. They have what they call throwback series. And that one of the series is called Joan of Arcadia. And Joan talks with God. He appears in many human forms to her. And one of the things that God says to Joan time and time again is that we never fully know how our life affects people around us and how far the effect goes. As disciples of Jesus, what you do every day of your life, right up to that last breath, makes a difference and affects those around you. So, when life becomes overwhelming, when you have to make some big decisions, when you have to just take some time to regroup, do you veg out, phase out, and pig out while going to your happy place? Or do you withdraw like Jesus and pray? When I was a minister of a rural congregation a couple of hours north of here, there was a family who gave me a really marvelous gift. I'm not sure they realized exactly how good of a gift it was. They let me go out to a little camp they had on a monthly basis to a small trailer. And I would spend the day in prayer. I would take my prayer list. I would take the church's pastoral list and my Bible. And I would withdraw to the trailer in that very peaceful little river that flowed by it. And I would pray. And you know what? It re-energized reinvigorated and rejuvenated me. Every congregation I've had since then, I've looked for a retreat like this. But you know what it did the most for me? It helped me to refocus on people. It helped to take away the frustrations that built up as I sought to guide and direct the work of the congregation. It stripped off the callousness that may have built up, and it renewed my compassion for people. It allowed me to re-enter my day-to-day living, seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. This is one of the things I think that this passage is saying to us. Each of us gets jaundiced about life at one time or another. We get bitter and resentful. It's so easy for it to happen. And day after day, layer after layer, it builds up. And we lose the fundamental component of being human, of being created in the image of God. And that's compassion. The kind of compassion that Jesus demonstrated through his healings and miracles and interactions with people. Jesus knew that this happens, and he knew how it could affect his ministry and his compassion towards those he came to give new life. Our scripture passage today says that a large crowd followed him, and after he had withdrawn for a while and he came back to shore, there they were, waiting. And what does the Bible say? Do you remember? As he got out of the boat, he saw the large crowd. And he said, "Get them out of here! I don't want them around." No, he didn't say that. He said, in his mind, I'm sure, "I love them." The Bible says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Compassion. A simple definition of compassion is this: a quality of care and empathy characteristic of God and Jesus Christ, usually shown in acts of kindness and consideration towards those in any kind of difficulty or crisis. Now, the kind of compassion being talked about here is not the kind of feeling you get when you see someone in need and feel a sense of sadness or pity towards them. That's sympathy, not empathy. What I'm talking about is what happens inside of you at the depth of your being when you see someone in difficulty or crisis. It is where your whole being is affected and your spirit becomes unsettled at what is happening to the other person. So much so that it almost takes over your thinking. To say that you are profoundly moved is like looking at the tip of an iceberg. Compassion. Compassion is a pillar, so to speak, of the Christian faith. It is what we do for its own sake and for the opportunity. Hear this. We do compassion also for the opportunity to talk to people about God's great compassion for each and every person. As a matter of fact, everything we do as Christians is for that ultimate purpose of telling about Christ's compassion for them. Our compassion is but a minor reflection of the depth of his compassion for every single person. Time and time again in the Bible, you read that Jesus had compassion for someone or for a group of people. In Matthew, it says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him." It says elsewhere, "As Jesus came ashore, he saw the large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things." Now notice, Notice that in each of these verses and in our Bible passage today, when Jesus talks about compassion, there is always, always a resolving action that takes place. A healing happens, or a teaching or feeding of people occurs. This is important for us to get in our minds. You see, where there is no action, there's no compassion, only pity. But where there is compassion, great things happen. Go home and do some Googling about great events in world history that made life better for people or nations. And you will see that they often happen because it was started by someone with compassion over an issue or injustice or a need. Some of the greatest successes in human history have happened because of the compassion of someone or a group over an issue, injustice, or need. I'm thinking about some of the great Christians down through the centuries, like William Wilberforce, Florence Nightingale, William Booth, Elizabeth Fry, Mother Teresa, Desmond Tutu, Albert Schweitzer, Martin Luther King Jr., and countless nameless Christians who, filled with compassion, stepped forward to deal with issues, injustices, and needs that hampered people from experiencing life the way God intended it to be. From the Christian perspective, the recipe for a successful life has a dash of heart in it, of compassion and action in it. A dash of heart that lifts us out of our busyness and self-focused lives and touches the lives of others, helping them experience life to the full Christ style. Every day, you and I are confronted with issues, injustices, needs, great and small, all of them crying for attention and attention and attention and attention in our overcrowded, busy lives. So I need to ask you, how do you respond? How do you respond to issues, injustices, and needs of people around you? Do you retreat to your home or some other place of sanctuary and put on your favorite cozy sweater, bring out the drink and the chips, and veg out, phase out, and pig out? Or do you withdraw to a place where God can re-energize, rejuvenate, and revigorate your life so that you will view people with compassion and a spirit ready for action and ready to seek to deal with the issues, injustices, and needs of people around you? Now, you may never deal with worldwide issues, but you can deal with the issues, injustices, and needs close to you, right here in London where you live. Start small and see where God leads you. Find yourself a quiet place away from the busyness of life and do what Jesus did. He prayed. God will help you discover what he needs you to do. And in the midst of that, he will re-energize, rejuvenate, and reinvigorate you to accomplish what he needs you particularly to do. And remember what Billy Graham once said. The will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. By the way, when we do this, God's Spirit does something amazing in our life. This living a compassionate life gives us a greater sense of fulfillment and purpose in this life. And we go deeper in discovering who we really were meant to be. There's a Christian song by Keith and Christine Getty and Stuart Townsend called The Compassion Hymn. relax, I'm not going to sing it. But the chorus ends with these words. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. Hallelujah and amen.